Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebe.
Let's go. Let's get it on. Oh, Peters.
Oh, we've got a fight. Thornton and Rebe are exchanging punches.
And now, The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Oh, how appropriate. Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550. Marty Biron joins us on this special occasion as hockey is officially back. And I think everyone's looking forward to that. We watched the games last night. I know we all were tuned in. And my boys this morning are ready to go. Riv, I'm not going to go where you think I'm going to go right off the start, which is say, did you see what Josh Anderson did last night? Because that would just be too obvious.
Why would you want to do that, right?
What about, did you see what Wayne Simmonds did last night?
Of course. I think that was a game changer.
I don't know if it was a game changer, but I think it fired up the old Maple Leafs. And listen, we can appreciate what the Leafs are doing this year.
So what you would call that,
them.
Marty, is a game changer?
No.
They were down 3-1.
Yeah.
They were down 3-1 with no life. Montreal was absolutely all over them. Wayne Simmonds gets in a fight
with a guy that was taking liberties with Matthews.
They tie the game, what? How many minutes later? 7 minutes later, they tie the game, make it 3-3.
Yeah, but they were also
down. You don't think
down,
it was a game changer?
They were down 4-3, and then they got the luckiest of bounce when the defenseman tried to go behind the net, hit the referee, and Carey Price was looking the other way. So how about that? That is as much as a game changer when you get that lucky break going your way.
Yeah, and I would say to the defenseman, get your head up so you know that there's a referee right there and don't just throw a knuckle puck behind the net.
Get out of the way, Stripes.
That's
well,
it.
You know, it's interesting because I'll tell you what I noticed from that game last night. Austin Matthews, I don't want – he got knocked around pretty good last night.
Montreal is playing tougher.
They're playing tougher, but my concern is, and I'm not calling for enforcers, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm just saying your stars nowadays are getting hit and cross-checked and agitated and face-washed more and more and more. And last night was a prime example, and that's why Wayne Simmonds did what he did.
Yeah, and I don't know that that's going to work every night, but it's opening night. Do something. It's not like there's fans in the building to really get the energy pumping. You have to create your own energy, your own emotions, and Wayne Simmonds did that. But then after that, listen, Mitch Marner looked good, Tavares looked good, the Canadians took penalties. Like, Wayne Simmonds fought Ben Sherratt and, you know, looked at his own bench and kind of said, wake up guys, let's go. But the Montreal Canadians, very undisciplined after that, allowed Toronto to gain. Where's Toronto going to gain momentum on the power play? And that's what they did. So I just wanted to bring it up because it was a debate on Twitter yesterday. A lot of analysts saying, well, did Simmonds change the tone of the game, or is just the the way things go in Montreal took too many penalties. So I just wanted to see what you guys were going to say. And I knew where you were going to go.
Instigators. Listen, WGR. I mean, oh, go ahead, River. I was leaving it open there for you for a second to let you jump in before I change topics.
If you don't think that that changed the game and woke up those guys, they're tiny dancers that sit on the bench there. I'm going to tell you right now, they were pretty excited to see a new teammate, a guy like Wayne Simmonds. They know what he can do. He's a good hockey player. He's not just a fighter. This is a player. This is a guy that's on their second power play. This is a guy that can be physical. And Wayne Simmonds knew at that point in time of the game, he knew exactly what he had to do. He almost initiated that contact with Ben Chiarot. Ben Chiarot took that challenge. You saw Wayne Simmonds in the penalty box look across at Wayne Simmonds and gave him the thumbs up to say, thank you for taking that fight. You know, I appreciate it, because Wayne Simmonds was trying to do something. He was waking up a sleeping giant in Toronto. They were all asleep on the bench.
Does it make a difference that Ben Chiarot dropped his gloves first? Like, I don't know that Simmonds is technically looking to fight. He's responding with like a couple of good cross checks, and Chiarot gave him a couple of cross checks, but Chiarot dropped his gloves first. So was that Chiarot saying, picking a fight in a bad position here, or is it more Simmonds doing
that? That's Chiarot. That's Chiarot knowing that he's probably in for one, and he wants to make sure he gets his head start. Cause yeah. I think he knows that what Wayne Simmonds could do to him would have been worse than what he did.
Okay. I can totally understand that. I appreciate that.
Let's move on here. Hockey's back, started last night. This is what I want to say. And I'll ask you guys what your expectations are for the Sabres. I sent out a tweet yesterday, and JJ mentioned it got a lot of responses, and I'll read some of those responses, but I don't even know that I can remember exactly what the wording was, but I said, something about your expectations for the Sabres season. But I just want to say about the games last night, I was so impressed, with the exception of Tampa, Chicago.
Petey, what is your idea of a successful Sabres season?
Thank you.
Your actual tweet.
That was my tweet. What is your idea of a successful Sabres season? And I want you guys to answer that too. But I was really impressed last night by the speed and the games that we watched. Like I said, with the exception of Tampa, Chicago, Philly, Pittsburgh was incredible. The Vancouver, Edmonton game had good legs in it. I was really impressed with the brand of hockey last night.
Oh, it was great. It was fast. Listen, two things. One, the goalies are going to maybe struggle a little bit early on, and we saw that. And two, I think the skill players are going to struggle early on a little bit too. You saw McDavid kind of, you know, losing the puck a couple of times. It's not the McKinnon, a little frustration. It's not the skilled guys that really stood up yesterday to me. It was the hardworking guy, Jankowski and Tanev, and let's name who's with St. Louis, Sundqvist, that scored. Like, it's let's go. Let's get your guys to get the puck in deep and go after them and hit. And that's what was good last night. That's what it's going to be for the first 2-3 weeks, I think. And the stars that are going to be successful are the stars that are going to do that.
Yeah. I watched multiple games last night. It's the first game I've seen some of these players play in how many months now? Upwards of 5 months, 4 months.
Some of them it's 10.
Some of it's 10. I cannot believe how good a shape that these guys literally looked. Like, I watched the Toronto Maple Leafs and Toronto Montreal Canadiens play. I could not believe how good a lot of those players looked. I mean, they're just in fantastic shape. These players in today's game take care of themselves so well. And I've been, you know, for day one, very, very impressed with the speed of the play and everything else. So
So what are your expectations? Like, what's your idea of a successful Sabre season, gentlemen? Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550. If you have a comment on this, you can call us 803-0550, 888-550-2550. You can tweet at Craig Reve 52, at Marty Biron 43, or at the Instigators. So what's your idea of a successful Sabre season? There were a lot of great responses, but I'm more curious to know about what yours are and see if they go along with these.
After last night, after watching Pittsburgh, so I had Pittsburgh in the top four in the East Division. In the Mass Mutual East Division, I have Pittsburgh in the top four. After watching them last night, not so sure about that anymore. I know it's only one game. Everybody's going to say, oh, come on, 60 minutes, one game. Let's not jump off the bridge here. And I get that. But I'm not – I was already on the fence with Pittsburgh and Boston saying they may drop themselves out or at least out of the top teams in that division. And now that I saw Pittsburgh last night, I'm like, okay, Buffalo, let's go. There's an opening here. There's at least a team or two that I factored to be at the top of the division that is going to stumble. Pittsburgh probably will be one. And I'm not sure about the Rangers and the Islanders and how they're going to – we'll try to keep an eye on that tonight, but how they're going to be this season. So I'm like, there's an opportunity for the Sabres. So I'm seeing a successful Sabres season. Successful meaning you did better than good. You did great. Is playoffs. That's what I'm looking at. So especially with what I saw at Pittsburgh yesterday.
Oh, where do I go with that? I just think that there's a tremendous amount of unknowns in this up and coming year. You know, we know how good Boston has been for many years. Okay. Boston last year was the number one team in the National Hockey League. That being said, I honestly believe that Boston is going to take a step backwards. You know, they're starting the season with the Brad Marchand, who is just coming off injury. They're starting the season with their number one goal scorer and point producer in Pasternak. So that's basically like us starting a season without Jack Eichel for the first month. They're losing their longtime captain. And if you don't think that Big Z, even at 43 years old, was the glue in Boston, you're crazy. He is going to be a factor without not having him. It's going to have a different look. No Torrey Krug, who is their number one defenseman. Boston's not the same team, gentlemen. So we can't sit there and look at Boston and say, hey, these guys are going to be a shoo-in for a top four. I believe that Boston has a chance to fall out. I really like Philly because I like their entire makeup of their team. They're young, they're physical, and they play a great brand of hockey. The Islanders, I think, are still going to continue to be an extremely strong team just due to the structure in which they play. Washington's going to be a very strong team because of the depth that they have throughout their lineup. There's a lot of teams out there. It's going to come down to I honestly believe the Sabres are a much stronger team than what they've ever been in the last 10 years. Does that guarantee us a playoff spot? The answer is no. A lot of it's going to come down to injuries. You know, injuries are going to play a key factor because these players are going to play so many games in such a short period of time. You can rest assured that there are going to be injuries. I talked about how important your taxi squad is going to be this year. Do I think the Sabres can make the playoffs? I think the Sabres can make the playoffs without question. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things that need to happen throughout a year for that to happen. I think the Sabres are going to be an extremely competitive team and a very, very strong division. That being said, they've got to play this out. We don't know what we're going to get from the Buffalo Sabres right now. I just know that this team has never been better than in the last 10 years.
Yeah, and there's a lot on the line too, and a lot of the people that responded yesterday, you know, had some great comments, and my tweet was, "What's your idea of a successful Sabre season?" Someone just mentioned playoffs and re-sign Taylor Hall. That's that's not a bad one either. But you know, there's a successful season to me is one where the players we desire to keep want to actually stay, and we compete game in and game out for your, you know, for the full 60 minutes. You know, don't give up. Want to see a team that truly cares and always believes there's a chance. So not even mentioning playoffs in there. You know, we need to make playoffs. Playoffs, the door is open. Is the door as open as people think? I don't – this is a hard division. Now, I'm not as nervous as everybody else is because I think much like everybody else, and Jack touched on this yesterday about living in the past and, you know, this isn't last year. This is his quote exactly. This isn't last year or any of the past years. That's my mindset going into it. This is a completely new season with new players and a fresh, clean slate. I don't speak of last year's, and when I'm speaking with you guys this year, I'd prefer you didn't as well.
Okay.
And I just like that he wants to completely block out past years, and that's why I'm not as nervous as everybody else when I talk about this division, because I think the Sabres are much better, but I do think there's a lot of pressure. I think there are a lot of players here that you want to keep here. You don't know how many years you have with Eric Staal. Taylor Hall's on a one-year deal, you know. You want to keep Jack happy. There are other players. So, I mean, there's a lot going on here this year.
You know what? But that shouldn't be the focus. The focus shouldn't be about making Taylor Hall happy. And, listen, let's worry about winning hockey games. Let's worry about having these players play together as a team. And it's going to be very difficult because they're every single night, they're going to be playing against a top team in the National Hockey League. Boston's a top team. Philadelphia, the Islanders have been one of the stingiest teams in the last number of years. The Rangers are an up-and-coming team, and they're a very strong team. We already know what Washington's all about. We know what we've seen out of Pittsburgh the last 10 years. I still believe that Buffalo Sabres, with their current roster right now, they need good goaltending. They need all of their defense to play well. We need a guy like Rasmus Dahlin to step up his game, okay? Just not to become some miracle worker, but to step up his game to make him even more dynamic in his play. We need scoring through depth, not just relying on Jack Eichel's line to go out and produce points. But I feel that there is now much more depth throughout our lineup. Is it going to be easy to win games? It's never easy to win games. It's very easy to lose games. It's very easy to lose, but it's tough to win. And every single night is going to be looked at differently. You're going to be playing the same teams multiple times, 8 times. I mean, by the time you're moving on in the season, you're going to know everything it is to know about these teams that you're playing against. It's going to come down to heart, the focus and how you play in your system. Your top players have to play well. I mean, there's no secrets. There's no secrets.
Sabres play the Capitals tonight. Sabres play the Capitals tonight, 7 p.m. puck drop for their first game of the season. What do we know about Washington? What are the Sabres doing to prepare? I mean, there's no real video you can watch other than stuff from last year, but few new faces there. But they're not, as you mentioned, they're an older, and I don't think they're the same Washington Capitals team as they've been in the past, or they will be this year. I really don't. I think there are teams in this division that are better than they are.
They're not the same. You start in net, you know, you don't have Brayden Holtby. If Vezina Trophy winner, Brayden Holtby did not have a good season last year, but still he's not there. So that's the start. Ilya Samsonov.
Is that big, Marty? Is that big for them?
Huge. Yeah, that's huge. And Samsonov, listen, really good goalie, but unknown as a number one goalie. So they bring in Henrik Lundqvist, who had to have heart surgery, and he's out for the year. So now they sign Craig Anderson. I don't think he's going to address it. I think it's like their third goalie right now. They have a kid named Vitek Vinicek as their backup. Their goaltending is completely, completely unknown. So it starts there. Listen, Samsonov last year in the bubble did not dress any games in the bubble. Why? Because he suffered an ATV injury accident while in Russia between the pause and the start of the playoffs. So the guy, I don't know what it's going to be like for him. He hasn't played in 10 months, 11 months, because he didn't play in the bubble in the summer. So Samsonov is the start of the changes for the Washington Capitals. And then, you know, you talk about Chara, obviously. They brought in Brendan Dillon. They, you know, their defense is all right. But it's Ovechkin. It's Ovechkin, Backstrom, Wilson, Kuznetsov. That's the key to the Washington Capitals right now. But big question mark in net for sure.
Riv, line for line, I think you were saying yesterday, line for line, you feel the Sabres match right up against the Washington Capitals.
Well, listen, I mean, you know that Washington has the firepower. You know, the number one line this year, Nicholas Backstrom, Alexander Ovechkin, and TJ Oshie is their number one line. I'll tell you right now, I'll put Jack Eichel and Taylor Hall and Tage Thompson against that line any day of the week. Any day. Okay? The second line that we have put together, Raul Kruger believes in Eric Staal and Sam Reinhart and Victor Olofsson. Victor Olofsson and Sam Reinhart were our two top wingers on our team last year. They're now playing on our second line. Our team in our first two lines is... It has not been this strong in 10 plus years. Okay. But I also believe in a spot that needed to be addressed. Not only did we need to address our second line center position, which Kevin Adams, that was the first move that he went and made, but he also addressed a third line position in Cody Eakin, brought in a veteran player that plays with grit. He's got offensive abilities. He's a great penalty killer. And he is a stabilizing factor for our third line. Okay? You bring in a Dylan Cousins. We all know the skill set of Dylan Cousins. He's got great size. He's got great speed. He's got the offensive abilities. He's a 200-foot player. And you put him with a player that has probably been the biggest surprise at the Sabres training camp this year in Toby Reeder. He's played fantastic. He's won a spot. He's played exceptionally well. That's our third line. I mean, you just look at the first three lines and say, wow, this is some really good hockey that we're looking at right now, just looking at our lines. The funny thing is, you move to our fourth line, if you want to call it a fourth line. You can call it anything you want. But we have a guy on that fourth line that scored 40 goals. He scored 30 goals multiple times. Jeff Skinner is not to be forgotten. Jeff Skinner will have the ability to make that line better. We all know what we're going to get out of Curtis Lazar. He's Petey?
Yes.
He was one of our favorite guys last year. He plays with physicality, which is what we need, a little bit of grit. We know that he can move the puck and he's got skills. Defensively responsible centerman. We've had a few injuries. Kalaposo's out. Going to miss him. Going to miss Kalaposo. He's a stabilizing factor on one of those lines. But we talk about taxi squad. We talk about guys that have the ability to step in. Rasmus Asplund is a very good hockey player, okay? He's very defensively responsible. He can kill penalties. He's got skills. He's not a big point producer in the National Hockey League, but he plays the game with speed. He's got skills, and he's going to fit in very well. He's also been playing in the Swedish Elite League for the last number of months, so he's game ready right now. So I like our lines. I like how things have developed in the last little while. And I think it's going to be a very interesting game.
Okay, Rams, let me ask you a straightforward question. If you think the Sabres match up really well line for line with Washington, then why is Washington considered a favorite to win the division and Buffalo not to even make the playoffs?
Because Buffalo has not proven jack diddly squat for 10 years. That's why. Okay. They need to earn the respect around the league. No one's going to give them respect because they went and got Eric Staal and picked up Taylor Hall and we got Cody Eakin. And now the there's blue skies in Buffalo and everything's sunny and we're just going to make the playoffs. Not how things work. Washington is number one in this extremely tough division because of the star power that they have, the Backstrom, Kunetsov, the TJ Oshie, the Taylor Hall. Okay.
Yeah.
They also have winning pedigree throughout their lineup, which is extremely important when you're talking about, you know, starting a season. The Washington Capitals have won in the past. They have players, they're an older team, so they're a veteran hockey team. So you have to knock them off the pedestal to get the respect. And the Sabres right now are looking up. They're looking up at Pittsburgh. They're going to look up at Washington. They're going to look up at Boston. And they're going to keep looking up until they show that they are a big boy hockey team. Are they a better hockey team? Should teams in this division fear the Buffalo Sabres? I think they should be very aware that this team is a lot better than what they have been in previous years.
But the
Sabres are going to have to earn that respect around this league.
Instigators, WGR 550. There's a call on the line. Let's grab Al. Al, if you're there, you're on the line with Craig, Marty, and Andrew. You have a call about the ideal Sabres season for you?
It would be make the playoffs, but you got to be realistic. We can't have $15 million between Skinner and Oposo, which is 20% of our cap on the third and fourth lines. That's not a recipe for winning. We don't have outstanding goaltending. We don't have a Carey Price who can carry a team. We're not physical enough. We're going to miss a Wayne Simmons. And I love you guys and respect your opinions, but whose opinion meant the most last night was William Nylander, who scored two goals, and he said the Simmons fight was the changing point of the game. So for his teammates, that's what does it for me. But I wish we were more physical. You always got to be optimistic because, you know, law of averages, you know, it's going to be 10 years. I mean, sooner or later, something has to fall right. But unfortunately, our last two GMs put us in cap purgatory with the Oposo move and the Skinner move. And that's my opinion, guys. And I hope I'm wrong, but I don't, you know, I see Philadelphia and the Islanders and getting those last couple playoff spots, the third and fourth spots this year.
All right, Al, we'll be right back. Are the Sabres playoff bound? And you know what that is? That it's a large chunk of change to be giving two players on your third and fourth lines, but they're here, so you got to try to make it work. Al, I appreciate your call. We'll talk more about the goaltending. Marty, do the Sabres have the goaltending to get them to the promised land? Are the Sabres ready to get there at the end of the season to where they haven't been in 9 years? Let's talk about that. Instigators, coming up next, season starts tonight. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're back with more of The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, welcome back, Instigators. Elliot Friedman coming up at 11 o'clock. We look forward to that. He's our Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada insider. Joins us every Thursday at 11 o'clock here on The Instigators. What's your idea of a successful Sabre season? That was my tweet yesterday. We have a call on the line. We just had Al. We'll get to that about are the Sabres playoff bound? And we want Marty. Oh, Glenn dropped.
Yeah,
never mind.
Glenn dropped.
Glenn dropped, so you're out, Glenn. St. Catharines guy, too. No loyalty there, I guess.
Well, listen, let me just, I was watching the taxi squad practice. So basically, the Sabres have made a move, a transaction. They assigned Jack Quinn to the taxi squad now. He was on the ice. They just got off the ice, the taxi squad. So Casey Mittelstadt, Jack Quinn, Will Borgen, and Davidson were the four players on the ice with Jonas Johansson. So that means, obviously, we all know that Rasmus Asplund was on the right wing of the Lazar line yesterday at practice. So if Oposo can't go tonight, Dylan Cousins would play in Oposo's spot. Asplund would be in the lineup. So that's basically what we have for the Sabres lineup tonight.
How much pressure is Linus Allmark feeling, Marty?
I don't know that I want to say pressure. There's a difference with the Sabres this year and the Sabres of the past years. The Sabres of the past years had to try to win the game 2-1, or at the very least 3-2. And there was a lot of pressure on goaltending to be almost perfect. And that's simple. The Sabres last year were 22nd, I think, in goals for per game at 2.8. You're not scoring three goals on average. You're not going to win in the National Hockey League. So now that we have Taylor Hall, Eric Staal, Cody Eakin down the middle, Olofsson healthy and ready to go, Eichel obviously, and there's more talent. So I'm looking at the Sabres scoring at least three goals on average, at least given a chance to Linus Allmark or Carter Hutton to breathe a little bit, to play a little bit more relaxed. And when you play more relaxed, all of a sudden you play better. When you play better, your numbers are better.
Yeah.
So this, to me, will help. So I don't know. They're obviously under a lot of pressure, but it's different pressure. It's not the you can only give up one or two goals a game. It's make that save down the stretch when you're up a goal, if you're up 4-3, that wins you the game. Right. And that's what they have to do. And that's what the top goaltenders in the league does every night. And I think that's the key for them this year.
Riv, I'll ask you the question the other way. And I guess I'd ask it, is the pressure more on the goalie to perform or is the pressure more on the players in front of them to be better?
I think there's probably both. Moving into this season, I just think that the team is really focused in getting off off on a good note. You know, play well. You know, it is, there's a lot of new faces this year for the Buffalo Sabres. You know, the lines are different. You know, the feeling is different. That locker room understands that this is the best team that's been put together in a very long time. And they want to go out, and they're a confident, they're a tight group, and it's about getting off on a good, on the right foot. And it's going to start with Jack Eichel, and it's going to trickle down to, you know, Taylor Hall and guys like Eric Staal and Olsson and Sam Reinhart. These guys are going to be logging the mail. I think Tage Thompson needs to show that he's going to have a coming out party this year. You know, the goaltending is very important. It's very important. You are not going to win hockey games in the National Hockey League unless you get excellent goaltending. But here's the thing. Sometimes to get excellent goaltending, you need to be able to play really well in front of that goaltender. Guys like Rasmus Dahlin, he needs to make another step. He's played 2 years in this league. He's played very, very well, and he's continuing to get better. But we need him to make a jump in his play. And when I say jump in his play, he just needs to really start to command some of these games from the back end. It's the way that he moves the puck. It's the way that he's joining the play. It's how he's playing defensively one-on-one against these top players in the league. And I think he's ready for it. Third year in the league, I think you're going to see great things from Rasmus Dahlin. You got to remember, last year the Buffalo Sabres had a 19-year-old defenseman and a 20-year-old defenseman. That's, you know, it's a lot for young defensemen in the league to take that big a role. And I see big things from guys like Rasmus Dahlin, Joakim Harju. I think we're going to, you know, see something pretty special.
You think I'm nuts if I say Risto, I think, is still our most important defenseman?
Yeah, I think you're nuts. And listen, if he is, that's because he's doing a fantastic job. And I'll give it to you and I'll say great. But it depends how you look at it. I think I answered a question yesterday or the day before with Duffer. And I think Brendan Montour, to me, is a key guy on defense, because he's going to be playing the right side with Dahlin. Obviously, we want Dahlin to take a step forward, and a big step forward, because we're seeing the Makar and the Quinn Hughes and the, you know, even when Charlie McAvoy came in and the Heiskanen. And so we want Dahlin to be right there too. So I think Montour is going to have a lot to say in that. And not only that, but I think Montour can have a really good season offensively. So that would be good. And as I say that, the taxi squad went off the ice, the Zamboni went on, and now the main group of Sabres, or some of them, are appearing on the ice right now, and we'll see if everybody comes on the ice for the morning skate.
Anything to add on Risto there, Riv?
You know, I think if Ristolainen is our focal point on the back end, I think we're in trouble. And I'm going to tell you why. I think Risto is a really, really solid piece to the Buffalo defense core. He's a big, strong, physical player. For a number of years, he's put up really solid points as a defenseman. He's, I think, the last 5 years, he's had, you know, 40 points for four of them. And last year, in a shortened season, I think he had 33.
Are we expecting to see less ice time per game this year for him?
Yes,
I would think so. And not staggering difference, but a little bit different because, you know, you're going to have Rasmus Dahlin playing with Montour, two very, very good puck moving defensemen that are going to garner time on the ice, most likely with Jack Eichel's line. Okay. You got Joakim Harju, who I think right now is going to be one of our most solid all-around defensemen on this team. He is now got a year and a half under his belt. I think you're going to see a bigger step for Joakim Harju. And from what I've heard about Miller, he's played in training camp very well. He looked very solid. And right now, we have three solid defense units. Okay, three solid defense units. So it's going to take a little bit of playing time away from Rasmus Ristolainen, but I think it's going to be good for him, and it'll be good for the team. I'm going to tell you this again. Rasmus Dahlin needs to make a stride forward. He needs to become a bigger factor for the Buffalo Sabres on the ice. This is his third year. We gave him that time to mature physically and mentally. He's a bigger, stronger kid than what he was at 18 years old. I believe that Rasmus Dahlin is in for a big year, and we need him to have a big year. We need him on the ice to play more minutes. When he's on the ice and he's playing more minutes, I think you're going to get some more dynamic play.
Marty Biron joining us here on the special Thursday edition of the Instigators as hockey is back here. First game of the season, and it's, what is it, January 14th. Yep. Is Kyle Oposo on the ice?
I don't see him right now. And if you guys will laugh, but I'm sitting in the suite, right? So I'm not really close to the ice. So I got my binoculars, and I'm, like, scanning to see who's on the ice. I've not seen Kyle on the ice just yet.
Well, Coach said it was going to be a game day decision, right?
If he was playing or not. But something that I was paying attention to, and I want to kind of bring up with you guys, is Dylan Cousins, right? Wearing number 24 now, by the way, went from 42 to 24. How excited do you think he is this morning? This is his very first NHL game day morning skate, getting ready to play in his first NHL game. Like, that is, I remember my first game day skate, my first NHL game. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I didn't even know we were supposed to have a morning skate. I was almost late to the arena in Pittsburgh because I had to walk through the street of Pittsburgh with my equipment with Kenny Martin, who now works for the NHL. Him and I were running through the streets of Pittsburgh to get to the rink. So it's got to be really exciting for Dylan Cousins to have that experience and be able to play tonight.
And weird too. I mean, let's be honest. You're going to play your first NHL game, no fans. But he's not. You know what? If anything, he has an advantage. The guy has an advantage. He just played in a high end tournament. He had a couple days to rest when he got back, and hopefully he gets to catch a league kind of a little bit off on their step here when he steps into the league. But what are you expecting from him, Marty? What's a good first game for Dylan Cousins?
Oh, just stay out of trouble. Like, really, to be honest with you, like, don't go out taking a penalty. Don't turn the puck over. Like, it's a simple game, right? And coaches use those cliches, but make sure the puck is out in your defensive zone. You're the winger. The D goes rimming around the wall. You get the puck. Feel the pressure from the defense or the forward that's coming on you. Don't turn it over. Don't bobble it back to the slot so that that Washington has an opportunity to counterattack and go back to the net. Don't turn it over in the neutral zone. Like, if you're the right winger in the first and third period and you're on the far side of the ice and everybody's changing and you're the last guy on the ice and you have to get the puck in the zone, and you don't because you try to make a play and then they counterattack and everybody's on the bench during a change. Like, that's a mistake. Like, don't make those mistakes. So that's what I would say Dylan Cousins' first game should be like, is just very simple. You don't have to go out and wow me and score four goals like Austin Matthews did in this first night. Like, no, don't. That's not the goal here.
River, is that it for you?
Yeah, you know what? Listen, I mean, the one thing that I would be, you know, the question that I have moving into this year is the question mark in my mind of, like, I really like what the lines are looking like. I like the solid defense pair. I think Linus Allmark is a year older. I think he's 20 years old or 27 years old. I think he's ready to basically have the best year of his NHL career. I guess my question that I have always that sits in the back of my mind is that you have Jeff Skinner on a line. And it just kind of seems like, you know, Ralph Kruger is not happy with what he has done up to this point to show that he deserves to be on one of the top lines. And it's interesting that he spoke about, you know, no matter the role or the skill level, it's about the principles, about our principles and how they play as a team. And
I think that's carried over, though. I think it's carried over from last year. I don't think it's new from this year.
You know what, though, Petey? I'll tell you this. Some guys earn a spot higher in the lineup this year in training camp. Tage Thompson did. Toby Reeder did. And now Dylan Cousins is going to be a little higher in the lineup. Some guys earned that spot not because of their play last year, because of what they did in training camp. And I think it's for everybody. So, you know, I mean, yeah, I would love Jeff Skinner to be a top six forward and score 40 goals. And I think he has the skill and the ability to be able to do it. But there's other guys that stood out more in training camp, and you don't have 2-3 weeks to wait. You don't have a month-long training camp. You don't have games to waste right now. You got to go with the guys that are, like, peaking and progressing the way that they should. I don't think that Jeff is progressing the way that you would want him to in training camp. Now, listen, he's a veteran. I look at Eric Staal. Eric Staal did not have the greatest of training camp, but I think he's a wily veteran that is going to pace himself, and tonight you're going to see, like, the best out of Eric Staal. So maybe you give that benefit of the doubt to Jeff Skinner as well, but some other guys won spots over Jeff Skinner. That's simple.
When we come back, our final segment for this hour, Elliot Friedman at 11 o'clock. I look forward to chatting with him. I'll be curious to see if he thought the brand of hockey last night was as impressed as we were watching those games. Marty, we'll get our final thoughts with you and prediction for tonight with Marty Biron after this segment, after this commercial break here. We'll be right back. Instigators, WGR 550.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I just received a text message from Brayton in studio, and he's passing along the calls to me. And we have a call. Marty in EA believes we have a competitive team this year and that Tage Thompson is going to have a breakout season. Is that you, Marty?
No, it is not me. It's somebody else. Another Marty in East Aurora. So,
is he on the line, Marty in East Aurora?
Oh, yeah. I'm from East Aurora. I like to just...
Oh, wow.
But I just also got to say, you know, other than Tage Thompson, I've liked him since the beginning. Yeah, just a little saber metric. When Scotty Bowman actually sees his shadow 3 days before a Sabres game, the Sabres are actually undefeated. Just a little saber metric.
Keep living by that one.
Excuse me?
I said, yeah, keep living by that theory.
This is not the new analytics. The NHL analytics are way better than that now. And the player tracking, which, oh, by the way, if you're into that stuff tonight on the broadcast, watch. We'll have some the NHL player tracking on, and we'll try to incorporate it at the right point. So it's going to be fun.
Marty, are you still on the line? Did you have a Sabres point you wanted to make? Oh, he's gone. Okay.
Well, he made a point. He said he's always like Tage Thompson. He thinks he's going to have a breakout season.
There were two points in the text message. I didn't know if maybe you wanted to talk about the Sabres competitive team. Speaking of competitive team, Marty, what are we going to see tonight?
Oh, I think we're going to see guys jumping. If I was them, they're going to get the greatest preseason pregame speech from Ralph Kruger, and I think they're going to be buzzing the first 10, 15 minutes. That's about as far of a prediction I can go. Then after that, we'll just see how things fall into places, but they're going to come out buzzing.
Well, let's hope it carries for the next 45, because, you know, you have to play a full 60.
And maybe 65.
And that's a joke, because it's almost impossible to play, you know, the whole full 60 as hard as you can and have control of the game the whole 60 minutes, you know?
Well, Tampa almost had that last night against Chicago.
You need to play about 38 minutes.
Oh, my Lord. That Tampa-Chicago game?
Yep.
Oh, my Lord. What a snooze fest.
What do you think John Taves was thinking?
Oh,
what do you think our good friend Patty Kane is thinking?
Oh man,
yeah, that's gonna be the struggle is real there in Chicago right now, people. And
who's the number one pick this year? Is it the kid Shane Wright? Is he the guy?
He's next year.
He's not even this year.
No.
Wow, man, that's the longest phase of domination I've ever heard before a kid can get drafted. All right, we got to go. Marty, thanks for joining us today. Elliot Friedman coming up next. Find out, ladies and gentlemen, if he thought that the games last night in the brand of hockey were as fantastic as we did, with the exception of one. So Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada insider, joining us next right here on WGR Sports Radio 550 with the Instigators.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.